Is there anybody that would like to come up that's different to pray for Reggie? Anybody? Ira, would you like to come up and pray for Reggie? Huh? I think that would be awesome.
All right. So I guess we better use that probably somewhere on this, and then there it is.
You got it, Mr. Man.
It's on. It's on. I believe. Yeah.
You're on now.
Is it working?
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Father God, I just humbly come before you today. We give all praise, honor, and glory to you, for you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and Omega, the great I am that I am. And we humbly come before you today. We lift up Reggie. We ask that your Holy Spirit would guide him in all that he says and does this morning, Lord, and that it would come from you and through his heart today. We just thank you for using him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Recording in progress.
All right. So the first thing I'm going to do is say hi to my kids who are on today. And they're both out of town now, so a different time period for me and Carla. And it's good. It's good. No crying. Okay, no, don't cry. No, I'm not really interested in adding any. That's just... So this morning, I got out of bed and I went, looked at my, I actually hit the wrong button. I was going to look at my messages on Facebook Messenger. I feel like an echo. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Instead of being on instant messenger, I end up hitting Facebook a little too much. That's good. So I ended up on Facebook, and one of the first things that popped up on somebody's post was, let go of the past, and the past will let you go. And that's what I'm going to be talking about. It happened by mistake, and I had like instant confirmation by mistake. And Sylvia was standing up here, and I was listening to what she was saying, and she said three big words there. She said past, well, actually four words, past, new life, and hope. And I hadn't told Sylvia what we're going to be talking about. So again, just a little bit more confirmation and what's coming. And I think that God has said, this is what needs to come out. And so I pray that every year hears the word today, takes it to heart, and does something with it. I pray that you hear it in the right way. A way that's not condemning, but in a way of building us up, making us stronger for things to come. In your name, amen.
Amen.
We're at war every day. And some of us know it, some of us don't. But we're at war every day. We have to battle Satan trying to manipulate our minds. He's always at work. He's unrelenting. He is unrelenting. He's trying to manipulate our minds. The world, society, is trying to challenge our beliefs and tempting us to believe a particular way, oftentimes contrary to our Christian beliefs. That's society. So we have Satan working, we have society working, and we have our own flesh working that we're battling against. Our own selfish desires, which often can be contrary to God, what God knows is best for us. So we got three kind of enemies that we're battling all the time. And so it's very important that we get ourselves in the right frame to battle right. To battle the way that God wants us to battle. And Jesus is trying to teach us what and how to battle these issues once again to help us become the people we're meant to be, right? So this is Jesus has been putting this whole thing on my heart about trusting him. Not just saying I trust him, but actually trusting him. And not only that, but to build us up, to prepare us, to get ready. And he wants us to cleanse ourselves, and he's instructing us to cleanse ourselves a little bit to do that. Okay. We're going into battle. And one of the issues that hits all three forces we are battling against in this life. There's three issues. Our past. Those three issues of Satan coming at us, and society coming at us, and our own flesh coming at us. We're battling those all the time. And our past ties into that. Our past ties into that. Past decisions, past actions, past hurts, past disappointments, past situations, by ourselves or with others, or others who have done things to us. They all get tied in. They all get tied in. Over the years, God has shown me that when we are having issues we are facing currently that is harming us, whether we recognize it or not. Sometimes we don't recognize when we're being harmed. Our past is holding us back and we don't even know it. We've stuffed that thing down so far. We've put layers and layers of stuff on top of it. And most of these things all stem from our past that we just don't want to deal with. There was a lot of hurt that might have happened. We made some bad decisions. We've done some things that we're not proud of. But we're also holding on to past things that people have done to us. Some of that we may even hold against God. And we don't like to admit it. Past decisions, actions, hurts, disappointments, situations. We see this in movies a lot, right? Almost every movie I've ever watched, somebody has what they call a fatal flaw. A fatal flaw. And you're watching the movie and you're sitting there going like, why are they doing this? How can they be doing this right now? Right? Over and over. You see it come out over and over again. Over and over. And you're like, can't you just break it? Can't you see it? It's harming you. It's harming you. And they just can't. They just can't seem to overcome it. And so what do they do in the movies to show you how they got there? They do a flashback, right? They show you what happened in their past that caused them to act the way that they're acting now, right? That's what they're showing you. And when they're showing you that, guess what's happening? It's telling us that they are not over what they dealt with back then, right? Because if they had dealt with it the right way, if they had gone past their past, then they wouldn't keep doing the same things over and over again. But they're not there. They're not there yet. And what God is telling me is that we're not there yet. We have issues, and I've heard it here in church. I've heard it out in the real world, where we have issues with our past that keep haunting us and keep pulling us down. And we haven't gotten over them. So that's what this message is about. It's like getting past that stuff. It's no secret that I'm an underdog fan. I've said this several times in here. I love underdog stories. Nothing. If my favorite team isn't going to win, if they're knocked out of the playoffs or anything like that, I'm going for the underdog every single time. Every single time. Except for when it comes to the Canadians. Except for when it comes to the Canadians. I mean, there's like mortal enemies sometimes, right? You just, even if they're the underdog, you just can't get yourself to roof. But anyways, all right, you get me sidetracked, Jerry. That's okay. So, I love stories of people overcoming great odds. That's what I love. I love seeing that. And that's why there's no surprise that I like Rocky movies, too. I'm a Rocky movie nut. I'm a Rocky movie nut. I love seeing the underdog come out and win, and I get so pumped up, and it excites me, and it says, hey, I can do it, because it kind of gives me inspiration that I can do the same thing. I can overcome some stuff that I need to overcome. Well, this message is called Stuff in the Basement because in Rocky Balboa, which is actually the sixth Rocky movie, it's really a movie about working through what he calls stuff in the basement. And when he's talking, he says, I still got stuff in the basement, right? I got stuff in the basement. It's right here. And I'm having trouble. He gets to the point where he recognizes, like, I'm having trouble moving past that. I'm having trouble moving past that. And what he's really discussing in this movie is a couple different things. His wife had passed away a few years ago from cancer, and he's having trouble moving past that. He's trapped in that. He's got issues with his son because he was famous, and his son had issues with him because he felt like he was always in the shadow of him. And the disappointments of getting older, and his life changing. He's not able to box the way he was. He had been taken out of boxes due to injuries and stuff. So there was a lot of disappointments that he was dealing with his past. Changes in life that were not what he was expecting to be. Missing a past lifestyle. Those were things that he was dealing with. And that was the stuff in the basement. And because of that, he was very held back. His head was down a lot. He was humdrum. He was sad. He was in a sad place. And we all have stuff in the basement. We all have that. Whether we want to recognize it or not, it's there. It's there. Some of us have dealt with this stuff much better than others. Some people have taken that old stuff and faced it, dealt with it, handed it over to God. Amen. And other people have said that they handed it over to God, but didn't really hand it over to God. And some people don't even know that it's there, holding them back. I would be willing to bet that most of us, or all of us, have stuff from our past that we are still presently affecting our lives in a negative way. Don't get me wrong, the past is important. The past is important because it shaped us, right? It shaped us. We went through some stuff. Hopefully we learned from that and we're moving forward, right? It's created our character a little bit. It's taught us lessons. But if we don't let it go, it's holding on to us and we have problems. We have big problems. So the past is important, but there's more to it than just that. We have to get through that past. Our past has even sometimes led us to Christ. Right? We've made mistakes. We've seen the pits of hell. Anybody seen Pits of Hell? I have. And it led us to Christ. So not all bad past is bad, right? Like there's good things that happen out of the past. And I want you to understand that. But what I see here as a therapist, a family member, a pastor, is people being affected negatively from their past events and holding them back. Holding them back from their full potential that God sees in them. That God has made you to be, made me to be. Sometimes these past issues are obvious, and sometimes these issues is stuffed deep down inside and it's affecting us. Those deep down issues really require God to give us revelation. Who knows what revelation means? Anybody know what revelation means? Who wants to give a definition of revelation?
To wake up.
To wake up?
Yeah.
Okay. Sylvia said recognize. Vision of awakening, Kelly said.
Not to study this now. So the Greek word is actually apocalypse. And basically what it's trying to reveal to you.
Reveal.
What's there. It's actually there. It's happening. And basically they're revealing that to you so that you can now see what was really there.
Bingo. So revelation is really about revealing, making known of something that was previously secret or unknown, right? Now, we can't see it, but God knows it. God knows it, right? And so it takes God to reveal that to us sometimes. That's how stuffed down we put stuff sometimes. We buried that sucker big time, right? We had a past hurt that we don't want to talk about, we don't want to look at, we just want to forget it and make pretend it never happened. The problem is, it's still in there. It's still in there. And only divine process can pull that out of us. Okay? So if we go to Galatians 1:12, you're going to see this, right? I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? Direct revelation from Jesus Christ. He's the one that can show us. Yes?
Who's talking here?
Who is talking? Galatians? That's Paul. Yeah. So Paul is, right. And you're talking about a time where he's getting revelation, right? He's talking to him. He's saying, like, listen, you can't get it from human form. It only counts for me in this case, right? For this situation. Okay, and I got an example. I'm going to use myself because I know myself the best. So, my grandfather passed away. My grandfather was huge in my life. He was probably, I hate to kind of say this, but I mean, he was probably the person I loved the most because I got my mother, and I had my father, and I had my stepfather. And I loved them tremendously. But there was a connection between me and my grandfather that was supernatural. And he passed away when I was in college. And it was unexpected. And it just kind of happened quickly, and I wasn't around. And there was a lot of... So I hurt. I hurt. I hurt so bad. I hurt so bad. And I knew I hurt at that time. And then time goes by and you kind of heal, right? You heal from it. And the hurt starts to lessen a little bit less. And life comes in and you get distracted and, you know, life moves on. Life moves on. And so 10 years later, 11 years later, 9 years later, something, I'm in here in church, and we're singing a song on the screen, worshiping, and God has a revelation for me. He has a revelation for me, and I can't remember why that happened, but he said, He said, you're not going to see your grandmother. Why is that? Why is that? And so all of a sudden I had to think about this. Why don't I go see my grandmother? Why don't I go see my grandmother? And then he revealed to me that it was because of the hurt I felt with my grandfather. I was separating myself from people. And one of the people I separated the most from was my grandmother. Because I never wanted to feel that type of pain again. I never wanted to feel that type of pain again. And because of that, what I did is I lost whatever amount of time that was, 9, 10, 11 years of time that I could have been visiting with my grandmother, spending time with her. It was harming me. It was harming me, and I didn't even know it. And not only that, but the more I think about it, the more I thought about it, I really didn't want to get close to anybody. I didn't want anybody to come in that close. Surface relationships were good. Deep relationships hurt. And that's what was happening inside me. And I didn't even know it. Keep everybody at arm's length. Don't let anybody in. I was young. I didn't know any better. At the time, I wasn't a believer. That's revelation. That's how God works. It's nothing I was thinking about. He came to me through a song. I can't even tell you what it was. And it touched me. And it opened my eyes to something that I needed to deal with. And it was a process. It was a process. I didn't just all of a sudden go, boom, I'm going to get close to everybody. That isn't what happened. It was a process of breaking me down, helping me through, understanding and trusting God. And that's what brought me through there. Recently, we were watching a movie. It's called The Adam Project. And it's really about somebody's past. Anybody see The Adam Project? Yeah, pretty good movie, right? Like, it's interesting, right? So I'm watching The Adams Project, and it's a comedy, but it's really about a character who had issues that, again, I was working on this message, and here comes this movie, right? And it's all about the guy's past, really. So character had issues pertaining to his past and his recollection of his past. That's what really came to me. When I watch stuff, my mind just doesn't stop. Like, I'm thinking about all, like, what is this teaching me? What's going on here? You know, it's just crazy. It's a crazy sickness. But two things that stuck out to me when talking about the past, he was saying is, and he used a different word, but I'm gonna change the word a little bit. But he was saying, he says, we stink with dealing with our past. You can figure out which word he changed, right? We stink with dealing with our past. And I agree. We do. We're terrible at it. We are. We don't like to face it. The other thing is that he was over-exaggerating in his mind. He didn't know he was doing this. But he was over-exaggerating the issues that happened in the past compared to what really happened. He was over-exaggerating it. He didn't do it intentionally. But when they showed the events of his real past, it didn't match up with what he was telling people had happened. And that can happen to us. That can happen to us. Not on purpose. It's not happening on purpose. Nobody wants to exaggerate the problems that they had in their past. But it just happens sometimes because our recollection starts to fade. And we start to build on something that may have not as been as bad as we thought. Kind of went a little up and above what the real reality of it was. He was putting his father in a bad place. And until he saw it, it's a time travel movie. So he goes back and he can actually see what happened. It's kind of like Scrooge, right? Like, he goes back and he can see, witness what happened, right? He can see his attitudes and stuff. But he goes back and he sees what his father actually did with him. He said his father never spent time with him, but in actual reality, he did spend time with him. He'd be out there playing ball even when he was busy and stuff. But he didn't remember that. What he remembered was the hurt. He remembered the good stuff, remember the bad stuff. And that's what can happen to us. When you get trapped focusing on the bad stuff and forgetting the good stuff. Whether our past issues are very evident or deep down inside, oftentimes battling these events in our life can be hurtful to deal with. That's why we don't want to deal with it. Because it hurts to deal with it. Right? That's why people go to psychologists and psychiatric people and mental health people. It's because they're there to help draw that stuff out of you. So you can face it. So you can face it, right? We stuff this stuff inside. We don't want to deal with those issues. And as I said before, even though we don't want to deal with those issues and we stuff them down deep, they're still there and affecting us. They may affect you in more ways than you realize. They affect our health, decision making, success, as well as our relationships with Jesus, family, coworkers, people in general. Even when we're not dealing with it, even though we don't even know it's there sometimes. Jesus wants us to believe his word and free us from that. He wants to free us from that. Not be afraid to face our past, knowing Jesus is faithful in freeing us and believing that. We can say it all we want. Just like we can say, I forgot my past. I'm okay with my past. That past isn't bothering anymore. But then you watch their actions or what they say. I have a friend who always says, oh, that doesn't bother me anymore. That's okay. But then every time we talk, he brings it up. Every time. Every time. So obviously, there's something to it. There's something. You're not completely over it if you're calling on it every time, all the time. You're not completely over it. John 8:36. Like I said, John, and John whips his head around. John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Right? If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Forget that stuff, right? Deal with it. You are free in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43:1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. We are his. We are his. He loves us so much. So much that he doesn't want to see you hurting. He doesn't want to see me hurting from our past. He wants us to move past that. He wants us to get the stuff out of the basement. Bring it to light. Deal with it. Do we really believe those words? Dealing with those issues is a process. It doesn't usually happen like this. There are those instances that Christ does something in you and it is done quick. They are. They happen like that. And that is a miracle when that happens, honestly. That is a miracle. But for most of the time, it's a process. It takes effort. It takes being honest with ourselves. Right? We have to be honest with it. Sometimes it takes uncovering layers of stuff. Right? So maybe you've built up some stuff on top of it. You have to deal with this upper layer before you can get to the root layer. Right? And Philippians 3:12 kind of tells us this. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, right? I haven't attained that. I'm not already perfected, right? But I press on. I press on. That I may hold of that which is Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Right? It's a process. It hasn't happened fully yet. There's steps to it. There's steps to it. And Paul is saying that right there, right? I'm not there yet. And dealing with your past, we may not be there yet. And it may take time. But he's going to perfect it in us if we are willing to do that. Philippians 1:6. And why? Because being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Right? It's a process. You know when it's going to get perfected? In the day of Jesus Christ. In the day of Jesus Christ. When is that? When is that day?
When he comes back.
So most of the stuff that we deal with from our past doesn't happen instantaneously, right? And they recognize this. Everything is a process. It's a there is no perfect person in this building. And nor will they be next week or a year from now or 2 years from now. The only time we're going to be perfect is in the day of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be perfected in him. In him. So don't let the past events label who you are. I'm very passionate about this. If you come to see me in therapy and you bring this stuff up, I'm going to tell you, don't take on the label. Do not take on the label. Whatever you were, whatever you did, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Right?
Yes.
That is gone. Yesterday is gone. 10 minutes ago is gone. Mm-hmm. We are a new creation. And every day is a new day. We have a new chance. That's the mercy of God. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Come on now. Right? That's the mercy of God. Thank God. God has mercy. We got to surrender our past to move forward. We got to surrender. And we have a hard time surrendering anything. Look at our fast right now. I am dying fasting right now. This is killing me, surrendering what I've surrendered. Okay? We are just not good at that. We want what we want. And we want it now. I want it now. That's the truth. But that's what the apostles did. They surrendered their past, right? They surrendered their past. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Persecutor of Christians. And when he was converted, he couldn't focus on his past harms he did to people. He had to recognize he was a new creation. And he had to move forward, believing that he's a new creation, that he's forgiven for his sins, all that he did wrong, and move forward. If he is focused on the past, we are not reading very many books out of this Bible. If he's always like, well, I can't do anything because I killed Christians, I persecuted them, then he's ineffective, right? If he's focused that way, he would never be able, he wouldn't be able to call out the Christian churches the way he does, right? He calls out the Christian churches, right? And any one of those churches could have said, Paul, you killed us. How dare you call us out. How dare you call us out? Could be, right? Somebody said to me the other day, a couple weeks ago, said, think about this. What was it like when Paul enters the kingdom of heaven and sees the people he killed? Wow. You want to twist your brain around? That'll twist your brain around. That was the past. That was the past. That was the past. That's how merciful our God is. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to a lot of you. But that's the reality of what we believe. Same goes for Matthew. He's a tax collector. Now, tax collectors weren't like, you know, you think the IRS is bad. Right? The IRS can be bad. Tax collectors back in that time period, they could make things up. They could make things up. And then they would make you suffer if you didn't meet what they wanted you to make up. They were bad people. That was Matthew. That was Matthew. If he's focused on all the things he did wrong to people, he would be ineffective as an apostle of Christ. But when Christ said, follow me, two simple words, follow me, he just did it. And in that moment, guess what? He was a new creation. He was a new creation. Sylvia used those words today. He was a new creation. And he knew that. He knew that. When Peter denied Jesus three times, he had to move past that, right? Jesus is telling him ahead of time, you're going to deny me. And Peter, full of pride, because that's what Peter was, a prideful man, said, no way. I will not deny you. Three times. At that point, if I'm Peter, I'm thinking, boy, am I a loser. Am I a loser? He told me I was going to do it. I said to him right to his face, I am not going to do this. And then I did it. And if I keep that mentality of being a loser, then I can't move forward and become who Jesus saw him to be. Who Jesus saw him to be. Which was a leader. So you can see what happens with our past, right? How it can influence. I'm giving a lot of different kind of nuances to this whole thing. And the same goes for us. We are not a disease. I have people come in and say, MS. I have MS. And that's all they focus on, is they have MS. Or they have Parkinson's disease. I have Parkinson's disease. And that's how they define themselves. You never want to define yourself as a disease. That is not your label. You have a disease. That is not who you are. Can you see the difference? You see, if you say you are defined by your disease, that is going to hold you down. That's a past label. That's a doctor told you, you have this, and that's going to hold you down. Okay? If Claude is stuck thinking, I had a tumor in my head, and he just stays focused on the tumor he had on his head, then that holds him down. Right? You are not a disease. You're a widow, but that doesn't define you. That doesn't define who you are. You lost a spouse. That's not who you are. You had a situation. And we gotta understand this, okay? It's super important. You may have stolen stuff. You may be a criminal in the past. That is not who you are. You've done bad things. Paul is not the same person as he was when he was Saul, right? He's not the same person. You are not the same person. You're a new creation. Okay? You're not what other people define you as. Anybody ever get labeled by somebody else? Anybody get called a loser? Anybody get called, you put in any blank you want. Lazy? What was that one?
Troublemaker.
Right? You are not that. You are not the label they throw at you. You are a child of God. That is the only label that is important. We're not the past decisions we made. Okay, we made decisions. They affected us. We are not those past decisions. That does not define who we are. You can put any label in a blank, right? Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. That is not who you are. That is not who you are. And when you accept a label, you're accepting Satan to work on your mind. When you accept a label, Satan is working on you. And then he's going to utilize every label out there to keep you down, to stuff you down, to shut your mouth, to make you ineffective. And Christ made us to be effective. That is a lie, a lie, a lie. We are a new creation as a believer in Christ. A new creation. And we got to accept that. We got to believe that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Once you are in Christ, You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Bye-bye. Right? Never to come back. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own. We can't do this stuff on our own. We have a hard time when we're believers. The unbelievers, hang on tight. Hang on tight. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Who fixed it? Christ. Right? Who reconciled this place? Christ. Not inputting their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. We're reconciled. We're reconciled not because of us, because of him. Because of him. But that requires a belief on our part. A true belief in that. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. In the newness of life. It's huge. It's huge. This is life changing. This can be life changing. But you gotta believe it. There is some work on our part to do this as well. God does the big part, but we have some stuff to do too. Right? We're co-laborers with Christ, right? Malcolm used that word a lot. Co-laborers. Christ doesn't do everything just for us. We have a part. We labor with Christ to accomplish good things. Part of that is trusting in God so we can be the people he wants us to be. Be prepared for all the next steps of our lives to come. And there's some stuff coming. You've heard me say it before. There is stuff coming. We want to be, and I think that's why he's given us these messages. He wants us tuned up. Right? He wants us tuned up. Because there is a huge harvest coming. As this world presses down on people, and they're going to get pressed, and they're going to get pressed, the harvest is coming. Because they're going to be looking for an answer. And we got to be as good as we can be so that we can show them the answer. And if we're carrying garbage around with us, and walking heavily with this bag of past, we're not going to be very effective. We're not going to be very effective. If we're carrying everything anybody's ever said negative to us, we're not going to be very effective. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be prepared. First part is to be honest with yourself and myself. Sometimes we got to go somewhere quiet and just reflect. And just look back and say, hey, God, I need revelation. Sometimes you already know it, but you don't want to face it. And sometimes we have to face it. We have to say, here it is. Here it is. This ugly, nasty thing that I'm holding right here, that I've kept in the basement, and I'm grabbing it and yarding it out with God, yard, pulling, painting, here it is. Here it is. Okay, now I can see it. Maybe we write it down. Maybe we write it down. There it is. It's looking at us face to face. Face to face. That's the first part. Being honest. Being honest. That could be the hardest part. That could be the hardest part. And we have to believe what the Word says. All these things we read about being a new creation. We have to believe that so that that builds our strength up. So that we can face that. That builds our strength up. Realizing, like, no matter what this dark, icky thing is, no matter what that is, when I've repented, when I've confessed it, how can you confess it if you don't know it? You can't, right? How can you confess it if you're not willing to acknowledge it? You can't. But when I see it, and then I can confess it, I confess that there's some hurts there, that somebody else hurt me, that I hurt other people, that I did something bad, they did something bad to me. When I do that, then I got to believe that I'm a new creation and it's going to be okay. I can face it a lot easier. It's built me up. I know that nothing bad can happen from that past thing anymore. It's done. It's done because Christ stepped on the serpent's head. Stepped on the serpent's head and smushed it. And sometimes we have to take that paper, put it on the ground, and step on it. And step on it. That's the action that goes with the Word of God. We pray for revelation when we don't have it, right? Sometimes we got to sit back and just pray. Sometimes God does it through a song. I've been driving. I've been in a shower. I've been in weird places when God gave me revelation. Right? But sometimes you gotta pray for revelation. You gotta sit quiet and pray for revelation. Right? Reveal to me, God. Ooh, that's scary. You're opening up a door. Okay? I think I've said this story before. I went downstairs one time, kneeling down, and said, God, show me where I need to change. And I got flooded so bad, it was terrible. It was one thing after another, 5 minutes straight, boom, 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 boom. And I thought I was a good person. But something inside me said, something's wrong. You need to change some stuff. And I asked, and I opened the door, the floodgates, my goodness. And it showed me a lot. And I haven't even dealt with all of that yet. I've dealt with a lot of it. I'm not there. It's a process. It's a process. The excellent thing about God is He takes you through the process as you can handle it. He doesn't throw the biggest thing at you right off the bat. He throws it slowly. He knows where you're at. He knows if you can handle more, and He knows if you can't handle more. It's a process. So pray. Pray for revelation. Pray for direction. Pray for guidance. pray for others that may be connected to past hurts. Love your enemy. Love your enemy. You want to release from that, from past hurts that somebody did to you? Most of the time, they're not thinking about what you're thinking about what they did to you. Most of them don't even recognize they did it half the time. And the other half don't really care. They don't care that they hurt you. They're going through their life perfectly while you're trapped in their hurt. So they're hurting you the first time, and then they're affecting your life forever after. Forever after. Because you can't release it, or I can't release it. They're trapping you. They're harming you over and over and over. And they're going on with their life perfectly fine. Only God can do the major work in us, though, to get over these past hurts. But we are instructed in what to do. We must have confidence in Him to follow through. And He will. And He will. Because He does not want to see us suffering. He really doesn't. He's not up there going, good for him. He's getting what he deserves. That is not the truth of the Bible. If you hear anybody ever say that, that is not the truth of the Bible. I've never read that in the Bible. The most common action God tells us to do in these circumstances is the act of forgiveness. Forgiveness of ourselves sometimes, forgiveness of others sometimes, sometimes even forgiving God. We're holding things against God at times, and we can't do that. Can't do that. And that is next week's message. So this message here and the next one could have been like a 7-day thing. Easy. And I've stripped it down to what God told me to say. And so next week we get a little bit about forgiveness. And so that's what we're going to talk about, because it goes along with this. So Jesus, we love you and thank you. I pray for everybody here to get revelation. Not revelation to hurt them, but to dig them out of something so that they can be freed beyond they ever thought they could be free. That you're going to form them into the people, and myself, into the people that you want these churches to be. Playtime is over. Coming on a Sunday out of obligation is over. You're changing us. You want to change us. And everybody in this room, I know, has a heart to be changed. And so we lift this change up to you. We know you're the only one that can do it. We pray that you give us enough confidence to deal with this stuff, to face this stuff, to be honest about it. Your hand is at work. We love you and thank you. You're so merciful, more merciful than we deserve. And we thank you for that. In your name, amen.
Amen. Recording stopped.
My...